In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The sun was hardly up, and it was already sweltering. Anita was also already up, building the fire to get some water boiling. Soon her children would be awake and hungry. They were always hungry. Her eldest, Michael, who would be 8 next month, was the first to rise. He gave her a big grin and sat down to the small cup of rice that she had reheated from what was left from the night before. The heat of the day made the surrounding acres of the city trash dump reek. But the Gutierrez family had lived there for so long, they didn't even notice. As the other children were waking, Michael grabbed his bag and headed out. Anita went on with her day, caring for her 2 younger children and washing the few pieces of her neighbor's laundry that she was able to get that would provide 2 more cups of rice for that evening. But as evening came, she began to get worried. Michael should have been back a good 2 hours ago. He always left the dump around 3 to take what he had to the recycling company. Michael had been a diver for over a year and helped his mother out with the extra money he brought in from the metal scraps that he harvested from the city dump and took to the recycling plant. It was pennies a day, but it helped. Emily was a 14-year-old girl who, by all accounts, had it all. She lived in a great house, a lovely neighborhood, played a little bit of basketball, although she was not very good because she was pretty overweight. She had some friends, but was certainly not in the in crowd. In fact, the in crowd was pretty brutal to her. Her 2 other friends suffered from bullying by them as well, but not nearly as bad as Emily. Her parents worried, but figured it was just normal teenage angst, until they found out from the school counselor that Emily had been cutting herself. She said that when she hurt so badly on the inside, she could relieve it by cutting herself on the outside. When I met her, there were nicks all up and down her arms and legs. A parent has lost a child before that child has even been born, and that after losing another baby who was only 3 months old. A respectable businessman made 1 ethical mistake and now sits shamefully in jail, having lost his marriage, family, house, everything. A wife watches as the love of her life slowly fades out of reality and into the haze that is Alzheimer's. A father clutches his children as they turn their backs to leave their home that the bank foreclosed on because his job was downsized. Everyone you meet is fighting the battle of their lives. Everyone. Even the ones who seem to have it all together. The supermom who can do everything. The wise, old, serene man who's seen it all. The happy child. Everyone is fighting some battle. We may never know what their battle is, and they may never know ours, but they are fighting for their lives. And that's why Jesus came. That is what he taught, and that is what these final 2 teaching moments with his disciples were all about. He came to let us know that God is there with us in the muck that is our lives. In breaking bread and in sharing 1 cup with his friends, he invited all of us in our brokenness into the wholeness of a relationship with God. He did not come to say that everything we asked of him would be given to us. He didn't say it was going to be easy, but he did say it was going to be okay. Jesus proclaimed that the bread and wine that we take into our bodies was in fact his body, that we become one. When we partake of communion, he dwells within us, and because he and the Father are one, we participate in the beautiful relationship of parent and son, of servant and master, of the ever-flowing three-in-one God that is love. And the world will know that we participate in this relationship when and only when we allow that love to flow out of us. When we allow the carpenter to wash our feet and in turn wash his by washing the feet of our brothers and sisters. Now, this all sounds great. It's a great image. But how do we do this? How do we live this out? Well, I think that we need to recognize the truth of what was said before, that every single person that we meet is broken, is fighting, is struggling, and we meet them in love. We meet them in compassion. And first and foremost, we meet them with an eager hope that there's something that we can do for them, something that can make their day brighter, make their life a little easier. Think for a moment about each person that you met today. What would the conversation have looked like if you met them with the underlying agenda of reaching out to them in compassion? Every Jewish holy day, and this is actually true for Christian holidays as well, has an overarching theme. Yom Kippur is about forgiveness. Hanukkah is all about miracles. Purim is about joy and salvation. So what is Passover about? Passover is all about change. Immediate change. Remember how matzah is invented? You know, the bread, that the unleavened bread. Do you remember how it was invented? God said to the Israelites, "It's time to go." And the Israelites replied, "Great. We just need to finish baking some bread and get a few things together." And God said, "No, no, no. Now's the time to go." So the Israelites took their dough and they made it into the flat bread that it's eaten on Passover that's called matzah. Scripture says the dough was without yeast because they didn't have time to prepare food for themselves. That is the Passover bread of change, urgent change that we eat, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Michael never made it home that night. His mother learned that as he was picking through the trash, looking for scraps, a dump truck came and emptied its load, causing an avalanche of trash under which Michael was crushed. Because he was poor, because no one washed his feet, he was buried under the waste, the thoughtlessness, the greed, the excess of our world. He was killed by the mess of our lives, by my trash, by your trash. There are so many little feet in the world that need to be gently held and washed. Old feet that have walked many, many miles. Feet that are cramped in business dress shoes or high heels that long to be free. Tired feet that have gotten bigger after having several children. And feet that smell of teenage hormones and fear. We have just come through a time of Lent where we reflected on our lives and sought out those places where our relationship with God fell short. Now is the season for change. The heart of that change must come from a commitment to serve God by serving everyone that we meet. So as you come forward to have your feet washed, let yourself be cleansed in body, mind, and spirit. Let the love of God wash over you as it did in your baptism. And then come forward to partake of the unleavened bread, the bread of change, the bread of immediate change, the bread of life, and let it give you the strength to change. Amen.